130 years, that's how long we have existed. And you have they said, well, Todd, will you preach the homecoming sermon? And I said, sure. And then I started to think, well, what kind of sermon do you preach for a church that has been around for 130 years? And then I began to struggle with what I would talk about, what I would preach on. And it seemed like I was struggling for 130 years to come up with what I wanted to talk about. But then you begin to ask this question, what does it mean? What did it look like 130 years ago or through all those 130 years? I started asking myself questions. How many thousands upon thousands upon thousands have heard and responded to the gospel message because of this church? How many people have experienced the love of Christ through this body over 130 years? How many lives have been saved from eternal darkness, suffering, and separation from God? How many missionaries were sent out? How many people did we support as they took and shared this message of Christ across the world? How many churches did we help start or strengthen as a result of this congregation, whether it was through financial support or relocation of families who had once worshiped here, or an extension of the works of service that were done through the membership here? How many faithful Christians in 130 years have sacrificially supported the ministries of this congregation? How many struggles did the faith family here endure and overcome in order to tell others about Jesus? We just had VBS here a couple weeks ago, and all these kids were here, and I thought to myself, how many kids have come through VBS in 130 years? How many students did you encourage that came from Milligan? Or how many of our students did we encourage and they went to some Bible college somewhere? How many ministries have started or been strengthened by this congregation? And how many ministers have been sent out? Began to wonder, how many needs had been met? How many tears had been dried? How many meals had been prepared? And how many pounds had the preacher gained because of those meals that had been prepared? Essentially, it really boiled down to how far-reaching is the influence of this congregation for the kingdom of God over 130 years. And the truth is, there's really no way of knowing how far that stretches out. We really don't know how many people have been touched by the faithful Christians who have attended here in the last 130 years. But the question still remained for me. I thought, well, so what do you preach about to a church that has been faithful for 130 years? And so it came to me as I prayed about it. I think God laid it on my heart that we ought to look at the church in Ephesus. So if you have your Bible, every verse I look at today will be out of the book of Ephesus. So if you want to turn there, please feel free. Or Ephesians, not of Ephesus. Of Ephesians. My bad there, yeah. The letter Ephesians written to the church in Ephesus is a very unique letter because it was written to a church that really didn't, Paul wasn't really talking about any significant problem they had. Essentially, Paul is encouraging them to remain faithful. And that's exactly what I think you and I need to be encouraged with today. So let's look at what Paul told them and by extension what God has told us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, so then you are no longer citizens and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. It led me to my first thought this morning, and that is, it is not just a celebration today, but it is a connection. We are connected. connected to those 130 years. Paul is letting them know, God is letting them know that they are connected. They're an intricate part of the church. They aren't just building on the past, but they are uniquely connected to the past. I think that's so important for us this morning to recognize. It is great to be thankful for the faithfulness of those who came before us, and we should thank God for them. But at the same time, we also need to recognize that we have been uniquely connected to their ministry. We are an extension of what they did. We are a continuation of a ministry that has lasted 130 years. And we, along with them, are being built together into God's church. And that should be something that we celebrate, that we get excited about, and that we rejoice in. Colin Smith is a preacher. He had four distorted views of the church, four distorted images of the church that he mentioned in one of his sermons. It went like this. He says, some people see the church as a gas station, a place where you fill up spiritually so that when you're running low, you can get that little boost of energy. He said, you get a good sermon, sometimes, and it will keep you going for a week. He said other people see the church as a movie theater. They go in for an hour and they escape their lives and they hopefully find comfortable seats. They leave their problems at the door. They come out smiling and feeling better than when they went in. Some people see the church as a drugstore, where they get their prescription filled that deals with their pain. The church is a place where you go and you get this therapeutic time with the body of Christ. Other people see the church as a big box retailer, where you can get the best products in a clean and safe environment for your family with the low price of whatever you drop in the offering plate. Programs produced to transform the children and the young people and the adults as well. The truth is, some of those things apply to the church, and that is true, but the truth is the church is the family of God. We're the body of Christ. As family, we celebrate our victories together, the victories of the past and the victories of the present. And as a body, we recognize that we participate in those victories as well, so we're connected. But Paul doesn't leave it there. If you go one chapter earlier, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, after he gives this beautiful list of blessings, he says this, in him, Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. When you come to homecoming, you often think in terms of looking backwards at all the things the church has done. But Paul reminds us that we also need to look forward. I knew this section needed a little more attention, so I come over here. Hey. Yeah. What he says is, not only do you look back, you're part connected to the body of Christ, but he says you need to look forward, because you are going to be participating in a future celebration, an eternal connection with the body. You know, it's not just about what has been, it's about what will be. And he says you need to look all the way over into what is coming. You need to rejoice in a celebration that will last forever, connected with the body. Not just this body, but all of the body of Christ. Today we celebrate this congregation's history, but Paul reminds us even 130 years is just a glimpse. It's a small glimpse of the celebration that we are going to have for an eternity connected with one another. Today, homecoming is worth celebrating, but to be honest with you, it pales in comparison to the celebration we all are going to rejoice in one day. I love the lyrics of Chris Tomlin's song, Home. We sang it last week. I want to read to you the lyrics. This is just part of them. It says, this world is not what it was meant to be. all this pain, all the suffering, there's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven, in heaven. I'm going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, I want to go. Oh, I want to go home where every fear is gone. I'm in your open arms where I belong. Home. That's where we're going. This is a homecoming, but it also should celebrate a future homecoming where we're all going home. This family we're a part of isn't just a family of our lifetime or the family we live in while we are here in this community. It is our eternal family that we get to enjoy in the very presence of God. Now here's the key. Ephesians chapter 2, he looks to the past. Ephesians chapter 1, he looks to the future. The problem is you can't live in the past and you can't live in the future. So what is the message for the church today, right now, here in this place? And for that, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. This is what he says. It says, and he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What a powerful text. Paul says, not only are you connected to the past and are you connected to the future, but he says, you need to keep connecting today so that more people can celebrate with us for an eternity. See, Paul is reminding us the past and the future are powerful things that you should be thankful for. But he says, right now, in this moment, you have work to do. You and I, we have work to do. See, the church here is a training ground for missionaries. And guess who the missionaries are? You and me. We're all missionaries. We're to go out there and get connected to a world that is lost so that we can show them a celebration that will last for an eternity in the very presence of God. In fact, twice he tells us that we are called to ministry. And then he tells us that ministry is work. Work! He says you're called to work. He essentially says to every single one of us, you are called to grow the church. See, it's so easy for us to get caught up in the past and be enamored by the future. But God is calling us to live right now, right here, in the very presence of a world that needs to know about Him. I bet many of you have heard about how Sears is on the edge of collapse. Did you know that Sears came into existence in 1886? It put out its first catalog in 1888. Central was established in 1887. So I want you to understand that Sears and Central are about the same age. Sears and Central are about the same age. Now, Sears started off as a mail order business, selling watches, but it quickly grew into a catalog that sold everything from saddles to sewing machines. When I was a kid, you called the Sears catalog the wish book, and you got it out at Christmas time, and you went through there and you dog-eared everything you wanted your parents to see that you wanted for Christmas. all the toys, all the stuff. There it was, a wish book for what you were going to get. Now, Sears followed their catalog success by making brick-and-mortar department stores. That was building off the mobility that the world had acquired because of automobiles. They quickly became our country's largest and most powerful retailer. Sears sold everything from cars to houses. Everything. And by the 1970s, one out of every 204 workers in America worked for Sears. One out of every 204. The publishing of their catalog alone made them the largest publisher in our country. In fact, Gordon L. Will, who chronicled the history of Sears in a book in 1977, said, "Sears was regarded as a national institution, almost like the post office." Now, I say all that to ask you this. So what can the church learn from the seeming demise of Sears? What can we learn from them? I think there's some important lessons. First of all, the number one lesson is this. They lost their focus. They got distracted from the core of their business. I don't know if you know this, but they delved into the financial markets. They were part of Discover Card, you know. They also got into real estate, Coldwell Banker. And both of those bit them. Both of them. Not only that, but they refused to change, or at least to change quickly. How many of you here have ever heard of this store that Sears brought out called Sears Grand? Anyone ever been to a Sears Grand? Anyone ever heard of one? Ever been to one? Sears Grand? No one has. They rolled that out in order to try to compete with Walmart. But they rolled it out way too slow and they weren't very aggressive with it. So it failed. Not only that, but as internet sales began to grow and grow and grow, Sears really didn't pay much attention to it. Now they have an internet site, but they didn't care. When it crashed right on Cyber Monday, they didn't care. They didn't even worry about it. And by the way, Amazon and eBay and all the others have just surpassed Sears right on by. And then one other thing is, Sears forgot to keep reaching out to new customers. They forgot to keep reaching out. Did you know a professor at the University of Florida recently asked his students whether they had shopped at Sears in the past year? And not a single hand went up. Not a single student had shopped at Sears. So what does the church take away from that? What should we learn because of Sears? Well, I think we need to learn that we have to work hard. We must keep the gospel message our focus. And we need to make sure that we do not confuse methods with the message. And we need to connect with every generation, every person, all people, in all places. See, 130 years as a church is great. In fact, you can look out all over the place and you can hear story after story of churches that were birthed and died in the amount of time that we've been around here. But 130 years should be just the beginning. See, we have got a job to do. God has called us to work, and it takes work to connect with people and to keep growing and to keep ministering. So here is to another 130 years and beyond. Who's with me? All right. I was afraid you would have been asleep by now, so I'm glad you responded. So I want to finish up this sermon real quick with this. Paul tells us, chapter 2, you're connected with the past, and the past is important. We should celebrate that. He tells us, chapter 1, you've got something to look forward to in the future. You are going to be as the church in the very presence of God for an eternity. Chapter 4, he calls us. He says, do the work. Do the work right now. So I want to complete this sermon by closing it with a prayer that he prays in chapter 3. So I want to close by reading this prayer. I'm going to read it off the screen because it's in the New Living Translation. And this is what it says. It says, He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power, at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen.